This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 288 for the week ending Saturday, September 5th, 2015. Good morning. I'm Jeff Nielsen, also known as the Captain. And joining me today, I'm in Roswell, Georgia, by the way. Joining me today in Conyers, Georgia, the lovely Miss Maria.
Yes. Hi, everybody.
You are unmuted.
And,
yes, you are unmuted. And also joining us, representing the Wild Wild West, we have Father Corey attending, what are those, rodeos, that's it.
Howdy, y'all. It's a little rainy here, so there's not too many rodeos going on right now.
Oh, rainy. Okay.
Which is a good thing, because that means the fires are getting rain.
Ah, yes. Rain is a good thing for you guys out there. Are you getting a lot of fires in your area, or are they mostly in the mountains?
They're in the west. Yeah. I actually was just looking today. There are a couple that are down south of Billings, that area. But most of them are over in the mountains in the west.
I see. Well, so they're getting the good rain as well then.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Which is a very good thing.
Very good. Very good. So other than the fires in the mountains, how's everything going there in Malta, Montana?
Oh, pretty good. We're still trying to figure things out with the, reservation parishes. A lot of things that needed to be done that weren't, and you know, so you know how that goes when you pick up from someone else on a job and it's just kind of like, okay, what didn't they do they were supposed to be doing? So
now the Indians on, or the Native Americans, excuse me, that was politically
incorrect.
They go both ways. They are, I guess their culture really isn't a Christian culture from the beginning, right? I mean,
there's a lot of Native spirituality that is very sympathetic, you know, sympathetic. What's that term? It's mm-hmm. very similar to what we believe as Christians. Mm-hmm. And of course, we know this. You look in the Catechism when it talks about, you know, other religions, says that there are elements of truth in all faiths, mm-hmm. and there really are. That's Second Vatican Council taught that. We've known that forever. But it wasn't Christian by any stretch of the imagination. It was very much a pagan type religion. It was monotheist for the most part, but it was very much a pagan religion.
Mm-hmm. And so would you say, you know, what kind of percentage of that big population, at least at that reservation that's near you, that you have mm-hmm. parishes in, you know, what percentage of the population do you think is practicing the Catholic faith?
Practicing or baptized?
Oh,
practicing
well.
With very, very, very
well, I mean, we could say the same thing about well, everybody in the world, actually.
No, I would say at least on this
that's
particular
state of affairs.
On this particular reservation, it's very heavily Catholic, at least has a very heavily Catholic background.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the question of whether or not they actually practice that.
Right.
It's a whole other story.
So these parish churches on the reservation, you said, you know, it's a plural that you're saying, like seven, I think you said before.
Well, I have seven total now.
Okay.
There are three on the reservation and four off.
Okay. So if we went to one of these parish churches on the reservation, would they be packed on Sunday or would they be just kind of sparsely attended?
It would be decent percentage full, but they're small churches.
Yeah.
For example, the one in Lodgepole probably seats, if you really pack people in, about 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. That being said, when you go on Sunday, at least the last two Sundays that I've gone, the last two times that I've gone, I should say, it's been, you know, probably about half full, give or take. You know, so it's maybe a little less than that, but it's, you know, so it's not, It's not like it's, you know, they're packing them in and getting out the crowbars to push more people in type of deal. You know, it's not as well attended as it should be. And there are a lot of people who were baptized, and literally that's baptized, confirmation, first communion. That's the only time they're ever set foot in a church.
So common in other things. Father, is there a lot of syncretism in that community? I know that experience a lot. Is there? Because we experience so much of that. The crossover of the original cultural things with a misapplication and misunderstanding of the Catholic faith.
Oh yeah.
Right. Or in many cases, an intentional abomination.
Yeah, it's. I mean, there's kind of both. There's the cultural backgrounds. For example, as they come into the church, they do the smudging where they take sage and sweetgrass and they burn it, and then they purify themselves, they say, by taking this smoke and kind of pulling it on them. You know, I mean, and it's this kind of motion where they're taking the smoke and kind of cupping their hands and bringing it over them. Mm-hmm. That in itself is not a bad thing. I don't think there are other priests would disagree with me on that, but that I don't see so bad. But there are those who, oh, I don't need to go to church because I'm going to go to Sweat Lodge and we believe in the same God. You know, and it's just like, no, you don't. Because the God you believe in didn't become human, didn't become one of us, didn't give his life for us. We don't believe in the same God. You know, it's kind of hard to get people to understand that. The God that we believe in actually became one of us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So the concept of a creator God.
They're familiar with that. They believe in, you know,
but it's
Great
not,
Spirit.
Right, that's interesting. Well,
they what they don't believe challenge. In is, you know, the second person of the Trinity.
Right. They don't believe in the triune God.
Exactly.
So was it in the early days when the Europeans were coming into the New World, there were missionaries, and that's how the Catholic faith, the seeds were planted for the Catholic faith?
Yep. Actually, that's there's a great story about Father Pierre de Smet from Belgium, I believe. And he came over and gave his life as a Jesuit father to evangelizing this region. Really, anywhere from the Dakotas, Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, North Washington, Oregon, that area, what we could consider the Pacific Northwest now, very active in this area. It's kind of sad that the Jesuits left the reservation here because they were one of the last Jesuit links, back to Father de Smet. But he spent so much of his life going out there. He actually was originally requested to come out, or at least the black robes were originally requested to come out, because the Kalispell Indians, who, not a shock, are from the area near the town of modern-day Kalispell, they'd heard about these priests who were going around preaching this message, and they'd heard some of the message, and they wanted it. And so they put out a request through the fur traders that were European fur traders to send a black robe. And so this Father de Smet came up from the St. Louis area and started his missionary work and planted churches throughout Montana, Idaho, Washington, that area. It's pretty incredible story, actually.
Wow.
The work that he did. And that was mid-1800s, I believe.
So it's kind of like the Juanapera Serra of... of Montana,
very much,
I guess,
so.
Or that area
very much.
Of the country. Very cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, in my Badass Book of Saints, one of the extraordinary
Watch your
women
mouth.
That I feature. Talk about my always weaving the book into the conversation.
No, we need an update on that, by the way. Okay, go ahead.
It's available on pre-order. Please get it. In one of the chapters, the whole reason that I actually wrote the book was because of this one particular nun who was out in the West, Sister Blandina Segale, who's up for canonization. She's up for her cause was opened, I think, last May, and it's moving pretty quickly. And so there were a lot of sisters and religious that went out to support the priests who were you know, planting these churches and founding these service organizations and things like that. And so she was one of so many. In fact, when I was doing research for the book, there's a book specifically about I think it's like about a dozen nuns from different orders who were out there doing the support work and the behind the scenes.
Wonderful. Yeah.
To support my great father DeSmet.
Yeah. Some of the first schools in Montana were created by Catholic nuns coming out. My first assignment was in Miles City, Montana, which is southeast part of the state. And shortly after the city was established, a group of Ursuline sisters came out and established a school and everything there. And that, like I said, that was one of the first ones out there. And I can imagine, because Miles City still has kind of a reputation of being a cattle town, which back in the 1800s would have meant it was a Wild West town. It was a stereotypical Wild West town, cattle being driven right down Main Street and saloons and gunfights and the whole works. And these religious sisters show up to start a school.
Yeah. In fact, I read a lot about the Ursuline nuns who did that. I think that I could be wrong. I don't want to say that she was a sister of charity, but I think she was.
Yeah.
Sister Blandina. But one of her really amazing stories is that, the whole comical thing about how she ends up in Colorado is where she went originally. She went to Trinidad, Colorado. And one of the hilarious things is that when her superior called her and said, well, we're going to send you to Trinidad, she didn't even know where it was, so she looks it up on the map, and she thinks she's going to the Wendy's. And she ends up in the Wild West. In a town known for its lynch mobs.
Ooh.
I mean, what? Seriously? And this is where you're sending in a young woman. So these women were extraordinary.
Oh, yeah.
And men too.
Yeah, it was very difficult territory. I mean, it's so funny for me to think now where, you know, we're here in the 21st century. Yes, I complain because my internet is only 15 megabits a second. I complain because I have to drive so far, mind you, in my air-conditioned cruise control car at 70, 75, 80 miles an hour, and I complain about it.
Oh.
Yeah. It takes me so long to make those 100-mile drives.
Yeah, it takes a whole 16, 17 minutes for me to get to my first mass. Isn't that terrible?
Oh, how do you put up with that? When a wagon train would take a couple days.
Stories of priests who literally would ride wagons. Mm-hmm. They had their buckboard wagons that they were taking from one parish to the next. It's like, yeah, I don't have too much to complain about.
Yeah.
Listen, the air conditioning would be enough to send me into a tizzy. That's all I can say.
thinking about
in the south with the humidity.
Woo! Living here in the southeastern United States, I'm thinking, they didn't have air conditioning back then.
No, they didn't.
I don't know how they dealt with it. I guess they just dealt with it.
Well, that's why they built the houses with the big ceilings and the big windows and at least get some airflow so it cools off a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's why cologne was invented.
Yes. A good reason to have
cologne. Very noisy back here.
No. Everything's good. I don't know. Can you hear my Mr. Cedric bird upstairs occasionally? Of course, I'm using a noise gate right now, so you probably can't hear him.
My air conditioning just kicked off, and it's so loud.
Oh, well.
So, whatever.
You got to have the air conditioning. You can't survive without it.
Well, guess what? I'm going to be surviving without air conditioning.
I was going to go to you now, Maria, and get an update on happening with you and something exciting about to happen for you very shortly.
Yes, I am so excited. I can practically just jump off of things. I'm so excited. I will be.
Don't do that, though. You're too old for that.
You will be missing me for several weeks. I'm going to take a hiatus from Catholic Weekend because I'm going to be traveling to Cuba. During the Pope's visit there to Cuba on his jump to Cuba before coming to the United States. So I'm going to be down there. It's a threefold kind of thing, but I'll be down there really on a pilgrimage that kind of matches up with with the Pope's visit, and I'll be staying way past, I think, after he even leaves the United States, he'll be returning to Rome, and I think I'll still be in Cuba during the whole family thing, and so we have a religious pilgrimage plan to Holguín, to the city of Santiago, and to visit the National Shrine of Our Lady of Charity, who's the patroness of Cuba, and then so maybe catching the Pope for the Mass there, and then I'm going to travel from the eastern side of the island west to Havana and stop in all the key places that are important in my family history, including stopping in the town where I was born and going to see the house where I was born.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. And so I'll be reconnecting with relatives that I haven't seen in 50 years and meeting some that were born after me. So that's going to be a really neat trip. It's almost exactly 50 years to the day that I left Cuba.
Wow.
Wow.
So I left in October, and I'll be there in September.
Oh, very cool.
Definitely have to record some audio and maybe even some video.
Dude, I am taking everything I can. I certainly don't know what my Wi-Fi situation is going to be like.
Yeah.
There are no carriers there, so there's no way I can do anything.
Right, but at least you can record it and have it.
But I can record audio.
Take home with you. Video.
Yeah, I sure will. So I am so, so looking forward to it. I'm going to be going out next week to run a couple of errands at the chancery, and hoping to be able to get a pilgrim's blessing from the bishop. If not, my pastor will do it, but
yeah,
I'm hoping to run into Wilton.
So are you going solo from here in Atlanta, or are you going with some of your family here, or how's that going to work?
I'm actually escorting, if you will, my mother and her two sisters.
Oh,
and it'll be the first time that the five siblings are together in a long time.
So are you going down to Miami first?
Yeah, that's what's extending the whole thing. I'm flying down to Miami the day before, and we're flying out with a charter.
That should be a quick flight.
Miami. Say again?
That'll be a quick flight.
It should be a hop. Well, actually, no, because I'm not flying to Havana. I'll be flying into the eastern part of the island.
Yeah, that's still not that.
A little bit longer, but it's still a hop from Miami.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's pretty close.
Yeah, so it's really cool. Yeah, it is. It is.
It's
and
cool?
It's really neat.
I would think it would be warm there.
What's that?
You said it was cool, and I thought it'd be kind of warm there. But
yeah, it's probably very warm. So one of the really neat things, and it's also so much of the trip is related to my book. In Santiago is the birthplace of one of the women that's featured in the book as well. Mother Mary Lang, who founded an order of African-American nuns in Baltimore, was born in Santiago. Isn't that crazy? So it's almost, well, it's not even almost. I mean, I could sit back and I can say, wow, God's hand is over everything in relationship to this. So it's going to be cool. So I'm going to get some pictures for that as well. So I'm really kind of subdued, because if I was really jumping out of my skin for you, you'd be like, what? You know, you see those cartoons?
That's exciting.
the pinballs.
I'm excited for you. That sounds like a trip of a lifetime.
It really is. It really is.
And bonus, the Pope will be there too.
I know. You think I should try to get a selfie with the Pope?
Yeah.
There you go.
Sure. Why not?
Oh, that would be the challenge.
So, you know, you've mentioned your book, and you should, because it was quite a bit of work for you to do all that. And you mentioned we can pre-order it, and in the show notes for today's show, you'll be able to find that, our Amazon link for pre-ordering Maria's Badass Book of Saints. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
And so that's all been, it's all completely written and all ready to go, right? Just waiting for publishing.
Oh, yeah. Just waiting for the release. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's going to be in November?
November 20th.
Okay. Excellent. All right.
Yep.
So, wow. Speaking of the Pope, I've noticed here in the United States, because we're going to get it after he visits Cuba, he's coming up here to the United States, and visiting us. And I've noticed on the major media outlets, there have been quite a bit more mentioning of the pontiff. And in fact, Father Corey, you were saying something about some kind of a special thing he did on ABC News yesterday.
I think Maria mentioned that. I didn't watch it. So
yeah, I watched it. It was I watched it.
Let me play a little bit of this ABC News video. See if we can hear.
Night falls in Rome and Vatican City tonight. One truly historic global event. The faithful gathering back here in America, more than 6,000 miles away. American families coming together. They don't know why. Only that it will be a television first. David Muir, inside the Vatican walls with Pope Francis. Because before the Pope comes to America, America comes to the Pope.
Aquí en el Vaticano.
Hundreds gathered in three U.S. cities.
Chicago, Los Angeles, and McAllen, Texas.
Today is going to be a day you will never forget.
About to learn they're getting their moment with the Pope.
I want to tell you something, Marcus. We're going to talk to Pope Francis tomorrow.
Are you serious?
Oh my gosh.
Americans over.
So, Chicago, Los Angeles, and a cow in Texas? Is that what they said?
McAllen.
Oh. That must be a very special cow.
You are just yourself.
I know what they said, McAllen, but I just thought it was funny. So how did the show go? You said you watched some of it?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. I was actually, you know, I actually went to watch it a little cynically to see what the angle was going to be.
What? Sure enough, cynical?
A little bit of an angle. from a Catholic perspective, that is, let's say, protective of our Pope.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they made him look bad at all. In fact, I think that from that perspective, he was shown to be so just beautifully compassionate and lovely, to the people that he spoke to. So it was nothing less than what I expected. It was, you know, he's just a beautiful person. But I thought that the cities that they chose and the people that they chose, representative, I think, of Catholics in the United States was a little, not that it was skewed. It was certainly on board with what he, seems to be focusing on, which is social justice and the poor. But, a lot of the people that spoke to him, really just had some tragic experiences in their lives, of immigration and of just being down. I don't want to say down on their luck, but just in poverty and impoverished situations. And he was so compassionate and so beautiful to them. But I would have liked to have seen a little bit more. I would have liked to have seen some of the people that, for example, were represented in this recent Pew report about the state of Catholics in the country and how a large percentage of them are the lapsed Catholics who have either completely left the faith in search of atheism or agnosticism or nothing, and, or have gone on to other denominations within Christianity, and those who have remained cultural Catholics and who in the Pew report they reported that perhaps those are the ones that are more open to a return to the faith, you know, should they have the right invitation, should they have the right circumstances that help bridge whatever it is that they are missing to return home. And so I would have liked to have seen some of that too, because those are also the Catholics that are here in this country, which is not to say that some of the stories that were shared last night weren't absolutely beautiful and heart-wrenching, but that... you know, it was just a small segment, and
it could have been
that
more
that was really probably very politically motivated.
Could have been more balanced.
Talking. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, there was a beautiful moment. I mean, I was just crying. A little girl who was talking about being bullied and teased in school, had turned to the chorus to find herself and to find her gift. And so the Holy Father asked her to sing a song for him, and she did.
Oh, wow.
And, so she sang a beautiful little Marian song in Spanish for him. Mm. So it was really precious. And you could just tell that he was just loving every moment of his encounters with the people who were presenting their stories, telling him their stories.
I think
really, in that regard, wonderful.
I think our major media here in the country are they love this Pope because I think they have a perception that he represents something different from all his predecessors. And what they miss is that it's the same message that we've always mm-hmm. had in the same teachings and everything else, but he's just saying it in a little bit different way that is kind of appealing to them. And I don't know if they're ever going to recognize the fact that this is the same thing that popes have been saying for centuries and the church has been teaching. And it's just interesting to watch. I mean, I'm happy to see it because, you know, it's getting greater exposure for our church and its teachings. It's just that I'm wondering at what point do they finally realize that, oh, well, he's not going to change all these major doctrines and everything else. You know,
they're starting to, though. I mean, it's kind of funny. You're starting to see certain news outlets not quite as excited by him. Now, the major outlets are still talking about him. They're still, you know, promoting him as, you know, the great reformer of the church, going to change everything. But there's some newspapers and websites like Huffington Post, things like that, that they're no longer quite so enamored by him. You know, it's just really interesting to see that change starting to happen because they're starting to realize, you know, he's still saying abortion is wrong. He's still saying gay marriage is wrong. He's still saying these, you know, this is wrong, that is wrong. You know, now he's doing it in a way that is different. And I think the biggest reason for that he seems so different is because he's not speaking like a theologian or a philosopher.
Right.
No, and that's a fantastic point because he came across last night as a loving father. Mm-hmm. And I think that may be the great appeal that so many people have. I mean, the news sources are going to have whatever angle they want to, but at the end of the night, the impact that he made was really one-on-one. I mean, he was mm-hmm. on the screen for them and all of that, but he connected with them on a very human, very
wonderful,
with a very fatherly, very gentle manner, you know,
and it's
just
good.
I just can't imagine that anyone would not be moved by that fatherly love. I think that he was certainly demonstrating to all of them, but the people that he spoke to, and there was a really classic little piece there where he called out one of the nuns that was in the audience. He said there was a religious sister there who worked with a lot of the immigrant populations that were coming in, like newly coming in. And I guess when he was scanning the audience, although I'm sure he was prepped beforehand, but as he was scanning the audience, he noted her and he says, "Oh, I see a religious sister out there in her habit. And can we talk to her?" So she stood up but they had already done a little feature on her. Going into the show. So I mean, obviously it was prepped. It wasn't a surprise thing, but it was a surprise to her to be called out by the Pope. I think I would faint if the Pope suddenly called me out personally and said, "Oh."
Well, so Father Corey, you mentioned something about, you know, the thinking that somehow the church was going to change its stance on our teaching against abortion, et cetera. I noticed that there was a story, I think it was in USA Today, but it may have been carried for in other mm-hmm. Outlets about Pope Francis making the announcement that he was giving the power to absolve the sin of abortion and procuring or encouraging the procurement of such mm-hmm. to parish priests. And I thought, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, I thought that was possible before he made mm-hmm. that announcement. Is that true or not? What am I?
Yes and no. And I say yes and no because this is one case where I think Pope Francis, not speaking as a theologian and not speaking as a canon lawyer, kind of misspoke. I hope so. I mean, I really think so. And frankly, reading canon lawyers, including a brother priest here in this diocese, wrote a letter about this. Basically, yes, priests have always had the ability to absolve from abortion because we have the power to absolve from all sins. Mm-hmm. Now, there are certain crimes, and it's kind of, that's a technical term in canon law, just like it is in civil law, that cannot be lifted by a priest, cannot be forgiven, if you will. And abortion is one of those. Normally, according to canon law, abortion can, the crime of abortion, which is different from the sin of abortion, can only be, the excommunication that comes from that can only be lifted by a bishop or the pope. However, it can be delegated. And actually, a lot, other than, I believe, the Diocese of Lincoln, Nebraska, every bishop in the United States has granted that faculty, my own included. It's actually listed in my list of faculties that I have the ability to lift, they say, lift the censure that comes from abortion. So there are two different things, because this crime is, you know, it's one thing to say they committed, you know, they had an abortion, and that's, you know, that's a sin. It's another thing to say they did it in a way that invokes the crime of it. So like an abortion doctor would, in theory, you know, I mean, I don't have my priest friend's letter up in front of me, but basically like an abortion doctor who performs the abortion would commit the crime because he does it knowingly. He does it full act of the will. There's no coercion, no pressure, no nothing. You know, he did it knowing exactly what he's doing.
Okay.
And did it because he wanted to do it, or, you know, he's getting good money to do it. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times, not in every case, but a lot of the times, the women who go in for the abortions don't incur the crime because there's some sort of coercion, whether that's an external coercion, say a boyfriend saying, do this or I'll leave you, do this, or, you know, I'll beat you up, whatever it might be. Or parents or somebody like that will disown you if you have this kid, or internal coercion. You know, I mean, things like she's terrified. She's not thinking straight. You know, I mean, it's sadly, there are women who they have abortions because they're going to have an abortion because it's not the right child or it's got Down syndrome or something like that. But a lot of women who go to these abortion mills that I saw, I don't think they were doing it out of a full act of the will. I don't think they were doing it fully knowing what they were doing, fully desiring the death of this child. They were doing it because they were scared. Mm-hmm. They were worried. They were upset. You know, they didn't know where to turn, and here was an option that could take away the problem. And I think it's kind of understood. Again, this is just talking off the top of my head, but I think that for the most part, in that kind of situation, the church would say there's no crime committed there. There is still the sin, but not the crime.
That's why I thought that article was interesting, because the co-pilot I was flying with, he's also Catholic. Mm-hmm. And we were having this discussion on one of our flights. And I said, you know, all along, I thought that had already been delegated to mm-hmm. most parish priests, and I'm not sure why this is such a big headline. And you know, there were several people commenting in the article about, you know, it was coincident with the Year of Mercy, and then many mm-hmm. of them thought, you know, this is probably going to extend on in perpetuity. Yep. After the fact, after the Year of Mercy, et cetera. But I kept scratching my head thinking, wow, I really had a misunderstanding of that. But thank you for clarifying that, because apparently
I will say, well, you know, if I could add another piece to that.
Yeah.
One of the things that in this country we forget is that the Pope speaks for the universal church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the way that we understand things as Americans, or sometimes the way that we would like to see things as North Americans, mm-hmm. Is very different from when he's speaking, you know, to the universal yes. church.
You're absolutely right. You know, we're thinking in this world that we live in, this modern world. And,
you know, to be fair, in some countries, many countries, I have a feeling throughout the world, this hasn't been delegated. You know, here in the United States, I think the U.S. bishops pretty much got together and said, listen, this is, you know, there's a million plus abortions done every year.
It's epidemic in our culture.
Yeah. This needs to be handled on the parish level, not on the bishop. We don't need every Catholic who's had an abortion at some time in their past going to the bishop's office. We need them going to their parish priest. And that's where it needs to be handled because that's where they can receive the best healing, in theory.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you know, when you go in with a heavy sin like that and you know, and whatever it is, I'm sure that as a priest, you also, you know, find that opportunity to recommend things besides giving penance, you know, to recommend going to, you know, one of the healing retreats that are offered.
Rachel's Vineyard or something like that. Yeah. You
know, something like that. I mean, I'm sure that that's all part of the process, if you can go individually with someone, you know, at the local level.
Exactly. Very good. Very good. Well, hey, let's take a break. Listen to Alan Marchand and his band play Punxsutawney Phil. And it's the time where we thank all of you for supporting Catholic Weekend and SQPN. A lot of great SQPN shows out there. Head over to SQPN.com and you'll see a lineup of the productions, including great shows hosted by Father Roderick, The Break, The Walk, The Street, The Waterfall. No, wait a minute. I'm making those up.
The Boulevard.
The Boulevard. And Geek Week and lots of entertaining stuff out there that our network is producing. And you can support us by, of course, keeping us and our productions in your prayers, but also by your financial contributions. You can become a friend of SQPN, and you can do that if you're watching the video over here on the right. If you're on the live, the Catholic Weekend live page, you'll see that there's a little area to click on, Friends of SQPN, and you can set up a monthly donation if you'd like, or a one-time donation, to help us continue our effort in new evangelization. Another maybe easier and less painful way to do it, in addition to becoming a friend of SQPN, is to do your shopping on Amazon.com. But before you do, head over to SQPN.com as well. Click on one of those links, those Amazon links. And then when you do your shopping, you won't pay any more, but we will benefit from your purchase. And it's just a little bit per purchase, but it all adds up, and it does become a significant way to support our network. So again, don't forget, if you're going to do some shopping on Amazon,
explain that difference between the smile thing, because on my own personal Amazon account, I switched over because I didn't realize that there was a difference.
Well, I've been told, I don't know all the exact details about it, but I think the percentage that we receive when you use the smile, if you make that smile connection, is not as great as if you use the regular Amazon.com links. For some reason, we get a higher percentage when you go through those links that we've set up on the SQPN.com site and not using the smile.
Yeah, so I've changed the way I shop because of that.
Just and not only that, bit. I think when you use the smile option, it reduces or decreases the amount of stuff that you can buy. I think most of the stuff is still there, but it does kind of narrow your selection a little bit. Father, do you know any more about it?
Yeah, it's basically everything that's directly through Amazon. And I think some sites that are fulfilled by Amazon, but I think those sites have to agree to it as well.
Okay.
I think they lose a little bit of money on the deal too.
Okay. So yeah, many times when I'm buying things on Amazon, it'll say, you know, sold through this company. You know, through Amazon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, fulfilled by Amazon. Yep, exactly.
Okay. So, yeah, I was told by Father and Inga that we should try to promote the actual links and not the smile thing, for we get, you know, more bang for our buck. So there you go on that. Thank you for mentioning that, Maria. And also, we usually mention our partner in web hosting, Bluehost.com. And if you sign up with Bluehost, they give us a little bit of a gift to help us or to help support us. And turns out that many of the folks here at the network use Bluehost for their personal web hosting, like Maria and Sarah Vabulous and Steve and Father Roderick. So there you have it. So please support us in any way you can. We do appreciate it, as always.
Excellent. So, Jeff, Joanne in the chat room just reminded me of a special celebration we're celebrating this week.
Yeah.
My 30th anniversary?
Yeah. That's a good one, too.
Yay. Happy anniversary.
Yeah, happy anniversary. The anniversary.
Way to hijack that, Joanna. Sorry about that.
It's this week, Tuesday to be specific, September 8th, is the 450th anniversary of the first Catholic Mass celebrated in the modern United States.
Wow.
Woo-hoo.
And St. Augustine, I mean, Augustine, Florida. They mispronounce
it. Thank you for saying that right.
No. They mispronounce it.
Mm-hmm. The rest of the world mispronounces it.
I think Augustine mispronounced it, then apparently. No, I'm kidding. Augustine, Florida was founded September 8th, 450 years ago. And to celebrate the founding, they had a mass. That's how they started. So, it sounds like I'm sure there's a big party going on down at St. Augustine right now.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. I had no idea. Thank you for reminding us of that. The other thing we were going to talk about quickly before we get on to the picks of the week was the Facebook thing. Using your personal name and all that kind of stuff. And many people for quite some time have been getting away with apparently using things like Father Corey, Captain Jeff. It was just a couple of weeks ago where you were talking about this, right, Father? Mm-hmm. And you still had Father Corey, right?
Yep, I was still F.R. Corey for my first name.
Uh-huh. Are you still?
Until the next day.
I feel so bad because we teased you about, right? Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, it was so funny.
It had something to do with us, I think.
It was just an algorithm that picked you up, I'm sure, but.
Algorithm, or a lot of times it's a report, too. Someone must have reported me or something. I don't know what it was. And, you know, I was upset. And it was just like, I go to log in or to play on Facebook, and it's like, why is this not working? Oh, fun. So, I was a little unhappy about it, you know, mainly because it says, well, we want you to use what you're identified in your daily life.
Oh, okay.
I'm identified as Father Corey.
That's what I'm doing.
No, I don't have any legal documents that say that, but you didn't ask what my legal name is. You asked what I'm identified in my daily life.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, did they send you an email or something or what?
No, what they do is you get logged out. You know, so normally, you know, Facebook, you can keep it logged in forever.
Yeah.
I mean, literally forever. As long as you go every day, it refreshes your cookie and you stay logged in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you go to do something and it says, you've been logged out. Okay. And I've seen it. I've seen Facebook do that before, too. Like if it's been a while since I used that particular browser or something. Okay, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I log in. And that's where it does the, hey, you have to change your name now because we don't think you're called that, although you don't know me from Adam.
They've been stalking you for months.
Well, they do anyways. I mean, that's what Facebook's for, right? But I changed my name. I dropped the Father and just went on from there because I don't have – you can get it. And actually, a couple of priests have had – the ability to keep that title if they have legal documentation. So like, for example, if my driver's license said Father Corey, I could do it.
Really?
If there's like there's three different options. If driver's license that says Father Corey, or like a library card and a mailing that have Father Corey, or I can't remember, the third one was like three different pieces of documentation. And it's just like, this is ridiculous. No, I don't have any legal documentation that has Father Corey because that's not my legal name, but it is my common name, and that's what Facebook wants. And admittedly, Sarah and I got kind of disgusted a little bit. She told, of course, disclosure, she works in data mining. That's her job. Her job is working with data like from Facebook. So, of course, having my legal name instead of my whatever title I want to use helps her job. Sorry, Sarah, if you happen to listen to this later, I don't want to make your job easier. I don't like getting marketing stuff. I need to break it to you. I really don't.
Don't worry. She doesn't watch the show.
Yeah, nobody does. Yeah. Luckily, none of us actually go back and listen to the show.
I know. I'm sure someone will forward it to her. Hey, did you hear what Father Corey said? It, you know, 45 minutes.
She'll go, no. Catholic what? What show?
What?
Never heard of
it. I was on that once, wasn't I? So now I'm Corey Stika is my Facebook profile, and I have a Facebook page, Father Corey Stika, and I spelled out Father on that one.
Yeah. Oh, because it's a page, not a...
If you do go to facebook.com/FRCoreyStika, it does go to that page. Mm-hmm. I'm not happy with the solution because what you can do as a Facebook page is extremely limited compared to what you can do as a profile. Mm-hmm. For example, if I respond to one of my profile friends, it shows up as just Corey Stika. You know, and I don't want that. That's not who I am. I haven't been that for 7 years, just Corey. You know, so... Rant over.
Well, I should check mine because, you know, when I signed up for Facebook, I don't know how long ago, several years ago, mm-hmm. I signed up and I said my first name was Captain and my last name was Jeff. And that's what my Facebook page is. It's Captain Jeff. So probably somebody listening right now is sending them an email.
A report.
Hey, yeah. This guy, that's not his real name. But so far, yeah, it lets me log in, so I guess I'm okay. But that's okay.
Like I said, it'll just happen is you'll try to log in one day and we'll say, oh, hey, you need to change your name because this is not your real name.
Mm-hmm. No, okay. I'll give you a choice. I'll do it. I don't care. It's not that important. I mean, it's not like the calling you Father is much, much more important, you know, mm-hmm. for your vocation than calling me Captain. So, Interesting. All right. Well, let's see. How are we doing with the timing? Probably time for, unless you guys want to talk about anything else, time to maybe go to our picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
How's Pat doing?
I guess she's doing all right. Hello, Pat.
Hey, Pat. I know she doesn't watch the show either. But, you know, we like to pretend in our own little delusional world. So, you know what? I said I didn't have a pick of the week.
But you do.
But I do because I'm going to, and it's one that I've used before, but I wanted to mention the Indiegogo campaign for Lisa Hendy's son, Adam. It is nearing the end of that campaign. And let me go to it. Indiegogo.com.
Just a couple of days left in it.
Yeah, it looks like 63 hours. And now they're talking about hours left. So we're, just the last few days. His goal has been $5,000. So far, he's reached almost half that. And if you have some extra cash laying around and you want to support Lisa's son and for him to compose his first solo album, head over to Indiegogo.com and, we'll have a link in the show notes, or you can just do as I did, a Google search for Adam Hendy, H-E-N-D-E-Y on Indiegogo. Yeah. So that is my pick of the week again.
And it's a good one. He gave a concert, the other night.
Oh.
Where he did he did an hour free concert. Demonstrating his music, and oh my gosh, some of it was just fun, and some of it was absolutely lovely. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I got sucked into that. I'm a patron. I'm an old lady patron of his first.
Me too.
Yeah.
I contributed.
But it's good stuff. And it's great to see them.
Here's a little bit of it. Does it sound like this?
Way to go, Lisa Hendy.
That's the stringed instrument he's playing. Looks like a guitar. I think that's actually what it is. And then this wind instrument. Anyway, so...
Hi, I'm Adam.
And that's Adam talking. Sorry, Adam. I cut you off. So if you want to check out his campaign, again, the link in the show notes. And so hopefully he'll get the necessary funding. And, you know, a couple of years from now, we might be talking about that star, Adam Hendy.
That's right. Well, it's a pretty unique niche to be in with Irish music, but it's pretty cool. It's pretty astounding, actually.
Absolutely. All right. Lisa, Maria. Do you have a pick?
I do.
All right.
I have a pick of the week. It's my anniversary weekend. And you know what's going on in Atlanta? Dragon Con.
Oh, you know what? In fact, I'm by myself here in the house, except for all the animals, because my oldest daughter, Alyssa, she goes every year, I think. She dragged her mom with her today. So Linda and Alyssa went to the MARTA station and took the train into town. And right now they're at Dragon Con. You should have seen what they were wearing. It was amazing. It was amazing. Linda, did you ever see the Fifth Element and that what's her name? Mila Jovovich. That little barely covering
now
her up
thing.
Now I
know that you are lying.
That's what Linda was wearing. It was hot. No, I'm just kidding. They didn't dress up.
But. We went out to Covington the other day to get ice cream at this cute little place on the square. And John says, oh, we got to drive around the corner to see if a friend of his had a truck ready. The guy had a delivery truck converted into a SHIELD truck. You know,
the
Avengers. Yeah. And so we saw the first piece where he had painted the back doors. So he painted the vehicle all black. And I mean, it's his own company service vehicle. And he's out there in it today. Yeah, it's really cool. So he went I can't remember who he went as, but he posted a picture of his teenage daughter as the Black Widow. Oh, fantastic.
Wow.
You know, I rode home. I try to ride the MARTA train a lot to the airport. And I was riding home yesterday. I didn't even think that, you know, Dragon Con was this weekend until I was going up that long escalator as you go up, you know, before you exit security. And it said, you know, welcome, you know, it's Dragon Con, Labor Day weekend, blah, blah, blah. And I went, oh. And when I was on the train, I was expecting to see a bunch of people, you know, like dressed in all kinds of crazy things. Didn't see anything.
Wow.
I don't know what's going on. Maybe it was just too early or something. I don't know.
Well, you know, I accidentally got caught in the anime one earlier in the spring.
Oh,
I forgot the name of it, of the con that they have here for the anime fans, mm-hmm. but it was in the same hotel as in the downtown convention center. And that's where we were having commencement. So we're walking around in our caps and gowns. We're all dressed out in our regalia. So we look like we're part of the,
yeah, I was going to say
part of the people.
That's funny.
Anyway, cool. So we'll probably swing by and look at the parades and stuff like that later. That's my pick of the week. Dragon Con. Scandalous,
Con.
I know.
Oh, fun.
You are
fun.
So scandalous. No, there's a lot of good stuff. You know, Alyssa goes because a lot of the shows that are popular that she likes to keep track of, stuff like, you know, Doctor Who and you know, a lot of science fiction kind of stuff. They'll send stars from the show and stuff to be there, and then they can get autographs and memorabilia and that kind of thing. So not everybody is completely bonkers over there. Just most of them, I think.
There might be one or two that's sane.
Anyway, so, okay, good. Good pick of the week. And Father, I think you said you had a pick of the week, and it involves a video. And let me see if I can set this up. So let me vamp a little bit here and see if I can find where that video is. There it is. And I'm going to share it, right?
So this video it's by Chris Stefanik. You know, if you've watched some of his videos from the Real Catholic, reallifecatholic.com, it's just fantastic. He's just such an amazing speaker, incredible person. And he put on this video about Father Vincent Capodanno. I think he's going to start talking.
Father Capodanno was loved by his Marines because he was always right there with them on the front lines. He was told it wasn't his job to go on patrols, but he was often seen jumping onto helicopters at the last minute with his priest gear. He knew that where the fighting was thickest is where a chaplain might be needed the most.
It's really a great story about Father Capodanno, his life and what he did during the Vietnam War. He actually became known as the Grunt Padre.
And outnumbered 5-1.
It's very much worth taking a look at the video. Father Capodanno was actually considered a servant of God. He actually, his cause of canonization has been put in because he gave his life actually during the war defending a soldier who was wounded.
Wow.
So very much worth checking out. Very much a beautiful story. Something worth following. And it's a great video too. There's the takeaway that Chris has at the end, I think it's worth saying. I'm going to spoil it by saying it here. Yeah, I know, it's terrible. The way he died, that's how we're supposed to live for others. We have enough famous people showing the world how to perfect the art of making it all about you. We don't need more of that.
No. Wow. I can't wait to watch the whole video. It's only four and a half minutes long, you know, something
it's a short
like that.
Video. That's why I kind of talked into it right away, because it's a short video, and I don't want to play the whole thing. I want people to go and watch it.
Right. Cool. Looks like it's very well done. So Father Capodanno, and we'll have a link to that video in the show notes. Thank you, Father, for pointing us in that direction.
And by the way, I found it via, I'm going to throw another shout out here, by John Clem's Top Catholic Tweets.
Oh, yeah. John sends us though a link to those every week. Thank you, John Clem. Hope you're doing well. Another good pick of the week, our friend John Clem. Well, you hear the music coming up in the background. That means that it's getting close to the end of the show. And this is the time where we talk about things like frcorey.org.
Yep. Yeah. Still my website's frcorey.org for my homilies. You can still find me on Facebook at frcoreystika, those to the page, not the profile, and Twitter, Facebook, or Twitter, Instagram, and so on as well.
Okay. Excellent. And thanks again for joining the gang for this week's episode. Maria, how would we maybe read some of your stuff on your blog?
Well, follow me at Bego, B-E-G-O, on Twitter. And my blog is mariamjohnson.com or mariamjohnson.com, however you want to.
Yeah, I think I'm going to call you Mariam from now on.
Mariam. Mm-hmm. And I get Dear Mariam letters because of the blog contact. That's funny. So check it out, that I have a picture of Sarah with Otis up on my blog this week.
Okay.
This week's photo challenge was connected. And I think it's a precious picture of Otis and Sarah just looking intently into each other's eyes, romantically and affectionately.
Well, this week's excuse for Sarah not being on today's show is because she's up there in South Bend. I don't know. There's some school up there in South Bend, and they have some kind of a football game. They throw a ball, and sometimes the foot actually touches the ball, hence the name football. But very rarely, actually. Anyway, so we missed you, Sarah, and Steve. He couldn't be with us this week either, and we miss him. And hopefully he'll be back again soon. Maria, you'll be back next week, right?
I'll be back next week, and then I'll be off to Cuba.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about it one more time next week. Father Corey, hopefully you'll be back again next week as well.
Unfortunately, I won't be able to. I've got a meeting, diocesan planning meeting next weekend. So.
Oh, that sounds like a lot more fun than doing Catholic Weekend to me.
Yeah, joy.
Imagine having to work like a priest.
Terrible, I know.
All right.
I actually have to work more than Sunday.
The music's getting louder. That must mean it's time for me to say I'm the airline pilot guy, and you can... If you're into aviation shows and you have a lot of spare time to listen to a podcast, you can head over to airlinepilotguy.com. And until next week, wishing you a great Catholic weekend. Take care. God bless.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.